Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Well, happy Friday, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here with you. Long-ish week. I feel a little bit run down on Friday, as is typically the case. We do a lot of talking in here. We did a lot of talking yesterday. Holy smokes. Had a pretty interesting roundtable. If you missed it, you should go back and listen. Me and Tony Gwynn Jr. yelling at each other. It was great. Really enjoyed
Why
it.
Why do you both hate Tony Gwynn Jr.?
I love him. I have a man crush on him. That's how much I love him.
This guy over
but
here.
This one.
No. I'm with Woods here. I love Tony Gwynn Jr.
Yeah, he's terrifying.
He hates us. I mean, and I don't know that he.
What does that say?
Personally
about you?
Hates us. He hates our takes and opinions.
We're morons. Which is fine.
Thoughts, mostly on the game of baseball.
Correct.
But probably on basketball and football as well.
Luckily for me, that's why I don't tweet about basketball or football. Because I don't purport to know anything about either. I cannot speak intelligently about either of those. I've never really played them at any sort of level. Worth being like, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, not that I played baseball at a high level, but at least I played baseball. But holy cow, it was great. And I'm sure Mike Schilt is going to light me up today at 9 o'clock this morning as well when I bring up the exact same thing I brought up yesterday. But great to be here with you. That's really all that happened in sports yesterday was the roundtable. I did not see anything else. I feel a little bit in the dark. I know there was a football game. I think the Jets won it. But as far as baseball goes, didn't see anything. Nothing noteworthy anyway. So we'll try to piece together the next 3 hours and 58 minutes here on Ben and Woods this morning. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Joel Embiid agreed to a 3-year
contract. Oh, did he?
Yeah, we'll probably discuss that at length this morning.
Massive. Good for them. The Sixers.
Get one of our friends from Philly on, maybe, Paulie. We can talk about that.
Get a Philly's beat writer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, literally, there's nothing else to talk about.
Contract extensions are always a funny story to talk about. Because you're literally saying, all right, nothing's changing. You're staying on this team and going to continue to play.
You make more money, though.
It's called getting a raise.
Yeah,
they get a raise.
They get more money, but in terms of, like, the narrative of the team, okay, we're not changing anything at all. So there's no discussion there.
Which is good, I think, if you're, you know, you're like, oh, good, well, Joel.
Continuity.
Embiid's not leaving. Was he a free agent?
I think he was going into free agent.
Yeah, so they didn't want him playing on a, you know, a one-year deal, essentially. You can keep him there.
3 years, $193 million. Was that too much? Give us your thoughts, 833-288-0973.
I'll spend the whole day talking about Joel Embiid. You know I can, and you know I'd love to. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning to you.
How's everything?
I'm good. I'm sorry to hear that you're feeling a little run down on a Friday.
No, I don't really.
Long week.
It's been a long week. I feel actually pretty good. I feel pretty good. And it's probably based on my regimen.
Your regimen.
We talked about regimens yesterday.
Right.
I don't know. Oh, you said you had just gotten back from vacation. And you said, man, you know you're getting old when you're on a guy's trip. And, you know, instead of talking about the things, let's be honest, that we used to talk about in our 20s and 30s, you start talking about your blood pressure and your blood pressure medication, maybe the colonoscopy you got, maybe the time you pooped in a box and it was too much and they sent it back to you, maybe the time you sent your own poop to yourself. These are all things that have happened. And you do. You get out there and you're like, how you feeling? Ah, my back's a little sore. Oh, you strike UC Kinetics. All this stuff. Getting older is... there are people that that do it gracefully, and then there are people that don't. And then there are kind of people in the middle. I'm kind of in the middle. I'm trying to do it gracefully, but I'm also like, I need to all... The thing that I have that you don't have, Ben, you didn't go out of your way to damage every part of your body in your 20s and 30s like I did. So I'm always waiting for the... hey, man, we need to talk about your...
Your comeuppance?
Yeah, we need to talk about your... Because I'll be honest.
The consequences of your actions. Of your actions.
And so I feel like I'm playing catch-up all the time. And, like, it's why you really never see me drink. Don't do drugs. Like, I just am... I'm just trying to... I don't even smoke weed. You know what I mean? Like, maybe once a year. Maybe. And it's legal. Like... If you had told 18-year-old me you could walk in a store and get weed one day, you're going to live in California, you can walk in and just get whatever weed you want. I would have been like, are you kidding me?
And then you're going to tell him, but you're not going to really partake because, well, it just, you're too old to do it.
Yeah, well, and so now, you know, I'm trying to play catch up and be a little healthier. So we had brought up the golf trip and your routine, and I said, give me your routine. I want to know what you guys take on a nightly basis, because I said, when you hear mine, you're gonna die. You won't even believe it. I actually, and in case nobody believes me, the way that I did my regimen was I got everything out and I took pictures of each one individually. If you want to see them, I can show you guys.
So I've gotten to the point where I have one of those long boxes with M, T, W, T, F, S, and S.
All the way through,
buddy. Week.
I do too.
You fill them up each week so you don't forget to take any of your pills. Because if you had to look at each bottle every time, that would just be like take most of your evening trying to get ready for bed. So yeah, I put all my pills in every week into each little slot and then just pop them all at once.
That is the that's probably one of my favorite parts of the week, is when I get to the day that I'm out and I get to flip it open. I love it.
You like that.
I love it. It's kind of a grind.
Like, oh,
I love it. It just makes me feel good. It's like the preparation. I like the preparation of getting them all together.
You want to do mine? Come on.
I love it. Yeah. I think it's so fun. Now I do drop some on the
ground.
Little tiny ones. I'm like, ah!
Where is that one? Where did it go?
Saw my dog nibbling on one of mine. So let's start with Paulie, because I feel like his is going to be the quickest. Paulie, what do you take on a daily basis?
Like, I take a multivitamin.
Okay.
Like Flintstones? Like a chewable? Or what are we talking about here?
It's men's health. Men's multivitamin.
Okay.
And if I'm not feeling well, I have other, like, vitamin C specifically.
Right, but daily.
But on a daily?
Like, that's it.
That's about it.
The multi. When do you take it?
Usually in the morning.
Okay.
When I am not in a rush, or if I remember. It's right there by my bed. I have a thing of Pepcid AC tablets.
Sure.
Usually need one of those at night.
Okay.
To help with the chest pain, not chest pain, but heartburn type. And yeah, that's about it.
All right.
33 years old, not bad.
34.
Four. That's right. Just had his birthday.
That'll change.
I'm sure it will.
That will change at some point. Benjamin.
All right. I take Simvastatin for my cholesterol.
Okay. Simvastatin.
Keep it in range, which has done a nice job of doing show. I take amlodipine besalate for my blood pressure, a little low dose blood pressure. I may be able to get off of it on my next checkup. Is coming up soon, and they said let's see how you're doing, because you lost the weight, you're healthier.
Do it for 6 months.
But
we'll see.
Yeah, we're testing, kind of seeing where I was only kind of in the borderline level, but they were like, it's not coming down, so let's try that for a little while. I take a loratadine tablet every single night for my allergies.
That's a
generic for like Claritin.
Okay,
and I take that. I take a vitamin D, tiny little jelly vitamin D supplement.
Okay.
I have no idea why.
You need vitamin D.
That's what they said. Yeah. They said you're low when I did my last blood work.
Same thing.
Like a year and a half ago, they said you're low on vitamin D. I said, but I get out in the sun and I golf.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually where vitamin D is. That's not enough. So I take vitamin D. And I take a low dose or baby aspirin for heart health. And I've done that for several years. And that's my nightly pill regimen.
I could be wrong here, but I thought you were only supposed to take a baby aspirin I thought you were only supposed to take a baby aspirin if, like, you started to feel like I'm having a heart attack. I didn't know that you did it for
My doctor said just to take it every day.
Is a baby aspirin aspirin for babies or just a really small
Low dose.
Both, actually.
Both. Yeah, both.
Just a baby aspirin
very small, very tiny. 81 milligrams, very small.
You guys ready?
No.
All right, this goes down every day.
Okay.
Every day and night. My cup runneth over. My pills runneth over. So mine's very deep and thick. I take fish oil for my heart.
Okay.
Cayenne pepper to...
Cayenne pepper.
It's cool cayenne pepper.
Like it's a pill in a pill.
In a pill, yeah.
Not just like adding it to your food.
A shaker in my mouth. Oh, somebody's gonna get me doing that on video. That didn't look good. Also, it's good for your wiener, just so you know.
Cayenne pepper.
Yeah, just so you know.
In what regard?
I've never even heard
blood,
this.
Blood flow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shilajit. It is one...
Repeat that again?
Shilajit.
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 Is it French?
I don't know. It's one of the most nutrient-dense substances on Earth. Can help with slowing the effects of aging. I take vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin K combo pill. It's called ADK5. My doctor recommended that.
I call it DAC just because, you know, DAK.
Or CAD, either one. Yeah. Rosuvastatin to lower cholesterol.
Fine, yeah.
Ezetimibe, cholesterol inhibitor. I can't pronounce
it. You got two. So, okay. Ezetimibe.
Olmesartan for hypertension. Okay. Those are from the doctor.
Hang on. I don't have the right music. Proceed.
I take a men's multivitamin.
In addition to your AKD.
Mm-hmm.
Probably repeating some of those.
Maybe. Right. Fine. Can't have too much.
Yeah, you can.
L-arginine. It's amino acid. Probably mispronounced that too. Helps your body produce protein. Also good wiener benefits. Glucosamine. Supports healthy.
Isn't that good for your dog's joints?
Yeah, well, yeah. And your joints.
Cartilage.
Okay. Yeah, love glucosamine. L-carnitine helps turn fat into energy. You'd think I'd be more energetic. Magnesium supplement every day. Helps with blood pressure, also anxiety. Vitamin C gummies and apple cider vinegar gummies and creatine gummies.
What does the apple cider vinegar gummy do?
Supports immune system.
Immune system.
Yeah. That might be a bit, but they taste pretty good, so I eat them. And creatine gummies every morning before I start my day. Every day.
Wow.
It's a lot.
So now that I'm thinking about it, I could probably add a couple of things. They're not like pills, though. Like, would MCT oil be part of your regimen?
I take that every morning, too, in my coffee.
Every morning has to go in my coffee or a smoothie, whatever.
Yes, Fritz.
Has to have it.
I take a low-dose Adderall for my very, very severe ADHD. So...
feel like you're spending like $400 a day.
It's not cheap. Pills. Well, the worst thing is when you're doing it and you know, you're laying it all out and you're like, oh God, I've only got 3 of these left, 9 of these left. And then you have to place that order. You're like, oh God.
I also have a couple of hits of from Penn Higgins a couple times a night.
Yeah, well, that's part of your regimen.
Squirrely 24 in the chat wants to know, what do you take for your lumbago cramps?
What is lumbago?
I don't even know, but it sounds funny.
If there's any other supplements that you guys recommend, let me know. Because I just feel like I did overkill.
If you're a supplement dealer out there,
I'm your guy.
This is your client right here.
I did overkill on all of the things I shouldn't have done. Booze, alcohol, booze, drugs, everything else, cigarettes for years. I overkill.
Lumbago or lumbago, it's an outdated term for lower back pain.
Don't have any. Feel great.
I do have it then. No. I have you say lumbago, I say lumbago.
Lumbago. And so I did overkill on all that for years. And so now I just go overkill on health, trying to do it on healthy things. My pee is very yellow. It's very, very yellow.
I think you just need to drink more water then. I know you drink more water than anyone I've seen.
I drink more water than anyone on the planet. I drink 2 to 3 of these. That's like a gallon, essentially. 3 gallons every day. So I'm... Yeah. So anyway, if you have any supplements that I'm missing, let me know. I'd be happy to add to the...
People are worried we're violating HIPAA, like doctor-patient privacy. It's not our doctors who are revealing this. We are more than allowed to reveal our own pill regimens.
Dr. Dominguez on here. Listen to this guy. His blood pressure is this. Like, that would be a problem. Shout out Dr. Dominguez, by the way. He's huge tier one, huge Padres fan. Love him. And every time I go into his office, he's like... All right, well, how's the diet been? It's been okay, up and down. Working out, yeah, actually getting a little better with workouts. All right, well, let's check your blood pressure's through the roof, dude. All right, we're going to get you on a low dose of this. I'm like, son of a bitch. So, all right, what I got, I'm getting some good recommendations in here. I will get these going. Obviously, I started the show saying, you know, nothing else to talk about. I'm not an idiot, all right? I'm not a hater. I am a hater, but I'm not an idiot. He is unreal. He's unreal.
There's only one thing that I dislike about Shohei Ohtani. Plays for the Dodgers. I mean, and did so very affordably.
Yes.
But otherwise, yes. I don't have any personal grudge against him.
I didn't like the...
Like, would it be better if they signed him to a real contract? Like, let's say, like, $500 million real dollars instead of $700 deferred fake dollars?
Would it...
Where it's like... This has the potential to be franchise crippling if it doesn't work out.
Well, his deal does have the potential to be franchise crippling. I think in the deferral years when they have to pay him $68 a year, but he's made so much money. And I talked to people in the game that said, you know, obviously the money he brings in for every, you would see Bob Nightingale tweeting out for once a week. They've just signed the Japanese pickle company. They've just signed the Japanese candy bar company. They just signed two Japanese automakers. They're taking all the money that they're making. They're putting it into account. They're earning interest off of that account. And then they'll be like, here you go, bud, and stroke him a check. I mean,
he's going to pay for himself. No one ever accused the Dodgers of not being smart.
No, they're smart.
They're a smart team. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. They may not have the pitching to get it done this year, despite all their smartness.
Right.
But, yeah, they do some things correctly.
Well, and you have to have a player that's willing to do that as well. Now, again, I think based on what happened at the beginning of the year with Shohei, yeah, man, I think some of that rubbed me the wrong way. I think it did. But as far as a baseball player, superhuman. He's a superhuman baseball player. I've never seen anything like it.
He's going to get back to pitching next year,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he's going to get back to pitching.
130-plus years of baseball. I mean, it's never been done. We've never seen anything even close to this.
He had a day yesterday. Certainly we're going to talk about it. So relax, Dodger fans. Also, go listen to your own radio shows.
I actually think that having that day is probably not a good thing for the Dodgers. And I will explain to you why that's the case. We'll get to that coming up. We'll set our menu for a Friday program. It is a Friar Friday, of course, and you know what that means. But we'll tell you all about it coming up in our next segment. Do not go away. Kelly's got traffic. It's been really bad this week, the traffic in San Diego. I heard Mark LaTulip, our officer on Channel 10, talking about it last night. Hopefully it's a little better today. Find out early from Kelly and then back with the Friday edition of Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
I was a little bummed. Didn't get to go last night. I was on the air at 6 o'clock, and I think the event was like 5:30 to 7 or so. But I wanted to congratulate our guest from earlier this week, Michael King, and his wife Sheila, who successfully launched the King of the Hill Foundation yesterday in an event at Singing Hills Golf Course. And we did get a 10 News camera down there, so I got to see some of the video. I saw Joe Musgrove was there. Mark Grant was definitely in attendance. I saw Eric Rupner was there, and they had some auction items, Padres jerseys. Looked like a Dylan Cease artwork was up for auction, as well as they raised some of the first funds for the King of the Hill Foundation, which if you listen to the interview we did from the dugout earlier this week with Michael King, is about battling type 1 diabetes and other autoimmune diseases. Sheila Hill King was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, like my son has it, and they're looking for ways to at least identify it in potential people who are at risk, who have a genetic predisposition, and then maybe delay the onset, because it can hit at any time. It can hit when you're, 3 years old. It can hit when you're 13, like my son. It can hit in your early 20s, like Sheila King, or you could delay it. It could be longer. And the more you live without it, the better. You want your pancreas working as long as possible before you have to start taking insulin shots all the time. So, they're going to be contributing to research and funding to fight the disease, which is a great cause. And it's great to see Michael King so quickly getting involved in the community. It's very easy when you're new to a city, you get traded, like, give me a year or two just to get my feet wet and understand where I am. But he's like, no, let's jump right in. This is a great community for medical research, especially with Dexcom is here based in San Diego. And they're like, this is important to us. This is, let's get this started. And they picked a day. It's an off day, and they just did it yesterday. So good for them.
So you weren't able to go down?
I didn't. We did send a photographer, though.
So. Then surely you made a large donation.
I have not made a donation yet. I was not at the event. It was an auction of the event.
They have a thing online.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They do. It's King of the Hill
I don't
Foundation.
Have the internet, so.
You don't have the internet? It's the King of the Hill Foundation.org. You just go there, and then you just click on donate. They have a whole, there's like a button. And you can do a monthly, one time. You can do one time.
I'd like to donate maybe my time, like emceeing an event for them or something. That's more valuable than money, right?
I think what's the purpose of the foundation? To raise money?
Yeah. Get the message out.
Well, we just did that.
Yeah.
So we're good there.
Yeah.
That part has been done. We did it. Feel good about it. We got it out.
Anything to not spend a buck. This man.
You could do a quarterly donation? Or
a quarter. I would definitely donate a quarter.
One quarter. That's not an option.
Is that not what a quarterly donation means?
The lowest amount that you can give, or you can do other amounts. So I guess you could do a quarter, but I will stab you if you just give a quarter.
I'd like to do a quarterly donation. How much?
A quarter.
I just told you. A quarterly donation.
How about I make a donation in our Ben and Woods name?
No,
and we'll get.
Okay.
The,
I will make
get
the donation. I will find the website. I will do the donation.
I'll just tell you, it's kingofthehillfoundation.org.
You've already given $17,000 to the Peter Seidler Legacy Fund this year by winning all your baseball games. I can handle. I will make it generous. I will handle the Michael King, King of the Hill Foundation donation on our behalf.
Oh, okay, good.
Ben Woods and Paul.
Great, thank you. Orthodox says Ben supports with good thoughts and vibes.
I do.
Hey, I'm not actually going to give you any money, but I will send you my good vibes. Good
vibes. I do think, and you can make fun of me for this, I think that I don't have the funds to make a huge difference. I know every little bit counts, but yes. I feel like I can make a difference in terms of getting the message out and helping in that way, like talking about it right here. So
you do both.
I think that's the more important thing that I can do.
You're unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. He's selling us. He's selling us as to why he can't donate. Lie to us. That's what we just want you to go. Oh yeah, no, I was planning on it. I didn't do it. It's very easy. Just you don't have
I'm
to
too
be
honest,
George Washington
problem.
Over
I'm too,
here.
Too honest. I cannot lie. I did chop down the cherry
this
tree.
This is not why. This is why you can never be a politician. He just can't even tell.
That
a
is going to be a problem. Isn't
huge.
It? When we run
huge.
For mayor and you're my deputy mayor.
Oh my lord!
You're going to be in charge of most the
lying.
Of the lying.
Guys, we never got that email. I don't know what to tell you. I looked at my spam. Mr. Higgins, Mayor Higgins did not see it. So I don't know what to tell you. Resend it maybe. But yeah, sorry about that. Any other questions? No, Michael King is awesome, dude, and just a great, great guy. And, you know, I did think, and this is, you know, your baseball coverage mind is wired this way. You're like, we've got him for a year after this. But, hey, man, set up your foundation here. We're going to get something done. We'll get something hammered out. We want you here for a
be
long
here for
time.
A while.
Yeah, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility to think. And by the way, who doesn't want Michael King here for a few months?
Well, it's a good sign that he had the full backing of the Padres organization. 100%. You had the CEO there. You had, you know, full help from the Padres organization. Now, that's probably some goodwill that the Padres want to do for a player that they are hoping to re-sign
yeah,
as well.
All,
but
it's all circular, my friend. Yeah, 100%.
All right, here's what we've got on the menu for today's show. No Padres wrap-up, as it was an off day yesterday, but we will look ahead to the series against the Chicago White Sox, and of course, we will discuss what happened yesterday. Padres getting zero help whatsoever.
Zero. Not
which
one
you
bit.
You can't count on
nope.
any help at this point.
You beg for it, but you can't count
you
on
know,
it.
The one you were hoping for is could the Marlins beat the Dodgers? And they certainly couldn't. They didn't come close. In fact, they allowed an historic day from one Shohei Ohtani. And we will talk about that historic baseball day that happened in Miami. And friend of the program, Skip Schumacher's kind of news making, some lip reading that went on
yep.
during the game, and then some comments that Skip made after the game about not intentionally walking Shohei Ohtani, despite the fact that you kind of knew what was coming, the way he was swinging the bat. So we will talk about that coming up in our next segment. Take on Woods at 7:10. Maybe we'll get in a little bit of the Thursday night football game last night. Don't do this. 7:20. 7:35. I would like to play, if we can, a couple of the clips. Steven Strasburg was in studio yesterday. Hasn't done much media, obviously, after his retirement
yeah.
and came back to talk to his former Aztec teammate and friend Tony Gwynn Jr. in studio yesterday, and we've got some of those cuts, and we can talk a little bit about Steven Strasburg in our 7:35 segment. And then guests in the second half of the program, Jake Mintz. Is it Jake again? The newly wedded Jake
yeah.
is going to be back
Jordan
with us?
Jordan was last week.
Oh, that's
week.
Right, because yep. I was off last week. So the newly wedded Jake will be with us from Cespedes Family Barbecue at 8, Rondle Report at 8:35, and then the Manager's Report with Mike Schilt, the penultimate regular season manager's report coming up at 9 o'clock, and we'll talk to the skipper as he gets ready to host the White Sox this weekend. So that's all coming up on the program. Next, though, we'll get into a little Ohtani talk and Skip Schumacher and everything that went down in Miami with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Joe Musgrove night at Petco Park, last Friday home game of the season, and it's a terrific pitching matchup in store as he goes up against Garrett Crochet. Now, you think 6-12 is not a great record, but of course he hasn't gotten any offensive support. 3.78 ERA, he has been one of the top pitchers in the American League this season for the Chicago White Sox. So we'll see Joe and Garrett Crochet tonight at Petco Park at 6:40. Sammy Levitt with your Eco Water SoCal pregame show at 5.
One of the guys the White Sox decided to hang on to at the deadline, and remember, I mean, it was Garrett Crochet was like, you can trade me, but I want an extension, and I will not pitch out of the bullpen, and I think teams were like,
I wonder if they'll trade him in the offseason, though.
Maybe.
Because from everything that I've read, there really isn't much hope of turning it around
Dude,
anytime soon for the Chicago White Sox.
Now. Not only is there not much hope, their GM, Chris Getz, went on the broadcast and goes, yeah, we're not going to be super active in free agency. And we've got guys here. It's like, what are you talking about?
He said something to the effect, well, they're going to lower payroll.
Yes, they're going to lower payroll.
And from a team that he said something to the effect of, if you had told me in spring training that we were going to lose 100 games, I wouldn't have been surprised.
Right.
Now, 120, now that shocks me a little bit. But you have a GM who fully admits he put together a triple-digit loss team that has traded away most of the talent that they had and is going to reduce payroll in the offseason. Like, what are they even doing in the league at this point?
And again, you know, there was a huge article yesterday that dropped and was talking about the analytics that they use in Chicago. And I'm not kidding you when they say the analytics, the guys from the minor leagues, I think they spoke anonymously, and they said they had different sets of data. They said it was comical. No one knew what they were doing. And a minor league pitcher said, you know what the advice he got from, you know, his development coaches trying to develop him to the big leagues? Work on your command more. That's what they said to him. That was his...
Yikes.
That was his, like, all right, I'm going to send you off with some info here. Go work on your command.
I'm picturing Ruben Niebla walking for a meeting at the mound saying, hey, you need to command the ball better.
No kidding.
Good luck.
You know, it's like the... it's like Little League parents sitting in the stands. Throw strikes! Throw strikes! Really.
It's not helping.
Dad, I'm 7.
Keep your eye on the ball.
Keep your eye on the ball.
At least that's an actual bit of advice
yes.
that like a kid could think about. Okay, yeah, I'm going to keep my eye on the ball.
It's also advice that a kid could come up with. Like, oh, really? Keep my eye on the ball.
Throw strikes is not a tip at all.
It's like saying, get a hit. Get a hit. Come on, Paul. Get a hit. Get a hit. It's like, I'm trying.
Oh.
All
right.
It just, I mean, again, go work on your command was the extent of yeah. the information
telling someone to throw strikes implies, oh, maybe they're just nibbling too much. And they keep, you know.
Dad, I'm 7. I'm not locating my cutter at all. My cutter is not cutting.
Stop trying to get him to chase off the outside corner. You need to throw strikes. No, how do I throw strikes? Tell me, how do I actually get the ball over the plate? I'm 7.
I'm dreading it. I'm dreading how many parents I'm going to have to choke out in the stands in the next couple of years. I'm like, hey, stop.
Well, Joe's coming off a really good start. In fact, he's been good for pretty much every inning since he's come back, save one, which is really weird and still has no explanation. But you know, if he pitches well again today, I'm going to completely flush that one inning from my mind and go, there was something weird that was going on there.
Tipping, maybe. Something.
Maybe something like that. But we'll see what happens tonight. Again, Joe Musgrove, Garrett Crochet, 6:40 first pitch here on 97.3 The Fan. Let's get into what happened last night in Miami, though, with Shohei Ohtani. And, you know, why I'm hoping this actually is not a good thing for the Dodgers. We'll do that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, Kelly, expounding on mini donuts this morning, getting us all a little bit of hungry.
So, I've never looked at a donut and said, eh.
I
wish it was smaller. Never.
But small donuts are fantastic.
Yeah, but you eat way more.
But then you just eat 7 of them instead of 2.
Oh, I want a donut.
So contrary to popular opinion, I'm not a Dodger lover. I may not be quite as intense of a Dodger hater as you are, Woods, but I am far from a Dodger lover. I don't think even you, though, going to really have any shade for Shohei Ohtani today.
I have a little.
You can have shade for Major League Baseball. You just showed me something incredible.
I cannot believe this, man. I really cannot believe this. Somebody went to Instagram. It was our buddy Connor went to Instagram last night and clued me in on it. He goes, go look at MLB's Instagram. And so I did, and I went, holy cow. So Ben and I just looked again and checked the number of posts about Ohtani. And I said, well, certainly some of these have to be weeks old. I mean, obviously, he's probably the biggest player
post about him a lot their social channels.
Which I
understand. Taking advantage of their international audience.
You guys, I'm not kidding you when I tell you 22 posts about Shohei Ohtani in 19 hours. 22 posts. You can get arrested for that. If you have a female that you're interested in and you do 22 tweets about her or 22 Instagram posts, you need to be arrested.
They're stalking you.
That's stalking. This is a stalking violation. They went hard on Shohei Ohtani last night.
He's scrolling through a
It's insane. I mean, it is absolutely insane.
LeBron James cannot believe Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah,
it's just ridiculous.
So it was obviously a really
holy crap. It keeps going.
It keeps going, and then they like throw it. A Guardians went in there because they clinched. Yeah, like, hey, congratulations,
Guardians. What all they did was clinch on a walk off bottom of the 10th inning win. It's like boring. You're not Shohei Ohtani. Yeah.
There's Jazz Chisholm. Mixed in there.
There's one, Luis Angel Acuña.
Yep, Luis Angel Acuña. But yeah, dude, everything I mean, else. It is. It's pretty nuts. It's pretty nuts. That you have, even if you're a Dodger fan, you have to admit, all right, that's a little bit overkill.
So
you won't, but you should.
So he went into the game, 49 stolen bases and 48 home runs.
Yeah.
So I mean, outside chance of getting there. Quickly took care of the stolen base element of it. I think in the third inning, got his 50th, then 51st. But didn't look like the home run thing was going to happen. As in his first three at bats, he got hits, but no home runs. So he's 3-for-3, no home runs. But then in the sixth inning, hits an absolute tank off the bullpen pitcher for the Marlins. So he gets to 49, and it looks like, okay, he's probably going to get at least one more at-bat in the game. Comes up in the seventh inning, and the cameras catch our friend Skip Schumacher, manager of the Marlins. And they're getting bodied at this point. And clearly someone in the dugout had said to him, hey, should we just walk him here?
Yeah, let's not be putting him on here.
Let's not be on the wrong end of history. He's murdering us. Let's do the smart thing and let's walk him. And Skip's response, if you can read lips, was essentially
wasn't that hard.
Yeah,
yeah.
He said, "F that."
F that. You know, I'm not. I respect that guy too much.
Yeah, I got too much respect for that guy
to walk him here. We're going to pitch to him. And they did. And, you know, he had another home run and became the first and only member of the 50-50 home run stolen base club in baseball. And as much as you would love to see the Marlins, you know, try to win that game and rally back, I mean, the Padres want, more than any other team in baseball right now, the Padres want the Dodgers to lose. And they want their opponents, even the Marlins and the Rockies, to do whatever they can to beat the Dodgers. And perhaps competitively, the best strategy would be to walk Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
They weren't coming back in that game.
No.
I think Skip was absolutely right about that. Do we have Skip's comments after the game, Paulie?
Yeah.
What he had to say. So he was asked about it, pitching to Shohei Ohtani, and here's what Skip Schumacher said.
I think that's a bad move, baseball-wise, karma-wise, baseball god-wise. You go after him and see if you can get him out. And I think out of respect for the game, we're going to go after him. He hit the home run. I mean, you know, that's just part of the deal. He's hit 50 of them. He's the most talented player I've ever seen. He is doing things that I've never seen done before in the game. And if he has a couple more of these peak years, he might be the best ever to play the game. As a fan, yeah, I wish I was in the stands, not in the dugout, seeing it. But it's I'm proud of like the guys that were attacking him and not scared of him. And that's how you should go after it. And then, you know, he hit the home run. I mean, I know Bauman didn't want the home run to be hit, but he hit it. And it was a good day for baseball, a bad day for the Marlins, you know, but a good day for the game of baseball.
Yeah. Now, had it been a one-run game, you know, up one, down
sure,
one,
dude,
totally
yes,
different situation.
Totally different. Any problem with Shohei hitting again, 5-for-5, two home runs, position player in. That's the only thing that I thought, all right, stat patter. Like, come on.
I mean, I wouldn't have wanted that to be the 50th against
right.
a position player, but once he's already gotten it.
But I guess if you're 5-for-5, you're like, Skip, you got to
let me see if I can go for 6-for-6.
Even though it's a position player. So,
and it's hard. It's actually kind of hard to hit those home runs off the position players.
100%.
It's impressive. That home run was actually impressive in my mind.
But, you know, listen.
If I'm the position player, I might throw a 40-mile-an-hour pitch right at him.
Yeah. Just as a joke.
I don't want to give up one.
I'm not giving up one. Nah, whatever. It's over. It's fine. Great day.
So why do I say this could actually be a bad thing for the Dodgers? Having a red-hot Shohei Ohtani is clearly a good thing. They scored 20 runs. You know what Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman did in that game?
What?
Nothing. No runs scored. No RBI. I think one single. 1-for-7 with no runs scored and no RBI, and they still scored 20.
Yeah, you don't
on the back of Shohei Ohtani.
You don't throw that man anything near the zone ever in the when you get to the playoffs and you take your chance. Where's he hitting in the lineup now? Two
first.
Oh, he's still hitting first.
He's leading
I thought
off
Mookie was
no, okay. No, Mookie was thinking he was going back to lead off, and they said, no, we're leaving Shohei there.
I got no problem. And now, the thing about Shohei, and he's exhibited it this year, if you put him on, he's probably going to swipe a bag off of you. So that's something immediately. I'm going to pitch around him, try to get him to chase, but if I do put him on, it's a double. You know, that's tough. In the first inning, going up against the Dodgers, it's a real, real big advantage for them, which, again, is why. Look, I see them all the time. They're lamenting their pitching injuries, et cetera, et cetera. I understand that. I'm sorry, man. You have the best player on the planet. No one's going to feel sorry for you. And then hitting behind him, another one of the best players on the planet. Then hitting behind him, another one of the best players on the planet. No one's crying for you guys. Seriously. And you can't. Like, I legit had a guy last night going, well, we may be favored in every series, but we are the underdog. And I want, that's the stuff that makes me want to die. No one with Shohei Ohtani can be considered an underdog. You're just not. He's the best player in the world, can change the game in so many different ways. And everyone is hurt. Everyone has been ravaged by injuries this year. The Padres certainly have. So nobody's going to feel sorry for you about your pitching.
So this may be maybe a little wishful thinking on my part as a Padres fan, but I am taking my experience as a Padres fan and knowing that when there's so much made about individual accomplishments during a season,
yeah,
it's not necessarily great for the team.
No, it's not.
And when I tweeted yesterday, please let this be the pinnacle of the Dodgers season, I can absolutely see a timeline in which when the Dodgers look back at 2024, they go, yeah, the highlight of our year was that. Remember that day Shohei went 6-for-6 and joined the 50-50 club? Yeah, it didn't work out after that. We just didn't have the pitching horses in the playoffs. But, wow, that was such a great day. Because you know why I know that? Because we've done that here in San Diego.
Oh, I said it this week.
Blake Snell winning the Cy Young.
Snell winning the Cy Young in a turd season.
You know? Joe Musgrove throwing a no-hitter in 2021. You know, it didn't turn out that well. But what a great moment that was. What a great individual accomplishment.
Yeah.
And while the Padres have had Dylan Cease through a no-hitter, Manny Machado became the all-time home run leader, it has felt very backseat to what the team has done this year for the San Diego Padres. Don't you agree?
100%.
With the Dodgers, though, it's been all about Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
Even
no
Mookie
question.
Betts and Freddie Freeman have very much taken a backseat to his individual accomplishments. And while it doesn't really mean anything, they can kick it into high gear and still do and advance in the playoffs.
Sure.
It's not the place that I necessarily want to be going to the postseason. I like where the Padres are going into this postseason. Finally, for once, as a team that is playing together, that is pulling for each other, that everyone's doing something, and it's not about one player's individual achievements or accomplishments this year.
Yeah, and again, though.
And that's not on Shohei.
It's
on the hype machine a little bit,
sure.
But that hype machine is real, and it's a distraction.
Yeah, and also, it's just evidence. You don't give him anything in the zone. You just can't. You cannot. I'll take my chances, man. I really will, because you can't let him beat you. Because he's clearly a freak of nature.
All right, you can't avoid Woods and take on Woods. Our chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas. Don't let him beat you. Coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.